From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, September 26, 2018. And on this day, why some Maine schools haven't gotten their funding to help support homeless students, and new herring rules and how they could impact Maine fishermen. That's ahead in a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Norway Savings, supporting the colorful vision of Maine's business owners. Live your life in color. NorwaySavings.bank.
The legal battle over Medicaid expansion will be back in court again tomorrow in Superior Court in Portland. The goal of the hearing is to resolve issues around implementation, including a motion to find the state in contempt of court order to start the implementation process. Patty White has more.
The lawsuit is back in Superior Court following a ruling by the Maine Supreme Judicial Court in August. In that decision, the justices said that the LePage administration was bound to obey the lower court's order to file a federal application to expand Medicaid. The state complied, but Governor LePage also sent a letter to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services asking that the application be denied. That prompted Maine Equal Justice Partners, the group leading the lawsuit against the state, to file a motion asking the Superior Court to find the state in contempt and to appoint a third-party receiver to take over the application process. That motion will be considered Friday. On Thursday, Justice Michaela Murphy will consider several unresolved issues around Medicaid expansion, as directed by the state Supreme Court ruling. One question relates to when people are eligible for coverage under the law that was supposed to take effect July 2nd. Another is whether implementation can proceed without appropriated funding. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
In the race to replace Governor LePage, who is terming out this year, Democratic gubernatorial candidate Janet Mills outraised Republican Sean Moody over a two-month stretch this summer to take the overall fundraising lead. Steve Missler has details.
Mills, the state's attorney general, raised over $860,000 between mid-July and mid-September, more than doubling Moody's total for the same period. Moody, who operates a chain of auto body repair shops, has a slight edge in available cash. Meanwhile, independent candidate Terry Hayes collected $260,000 through the Maine Clean Election Program to surpass $1.2 million in public funds. 12 people donated to the other independent in the race, Alan Caron. While more than 90% of his total campaign funds have come from contributions and loans from him and his wife, Christina Egan. The source of funds, spending, and available cash can reveal information about the candidate's donors, breadth of support, and ability to effectuate their message. But outside groups with unlimited spending power have dwarfed spending by candidates in recent elections. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
A day after fishing regulators adopted strict new measures to prevent herring stocks from collapsing, some New England fishermen say they fear for their own survival. Herring are crucial forage fish for whales, seabirds, and other predators. But they're also the primary bait fish for lobstermen around New England. And as Susan Sharon reports, in the face of bleak stock assessments, there is disagreement about the best way forward for the fish and for the fishermen.
At the New England Fish Company on Portland's waterfront, Ryan Raber and his sister Susanna say they'll likely have to lay off some crew and staff to keep their second-generation bait business going. They have 25 employees. Herring and mackerel are the primary species they target. But if the rules adopted by the New England Fishery Management Council are approved, the Rabers and others won't be able to catch herring the way they used to, or catch as much. The industry quota has been significantly cut back.
Last year, we had a quota of about 100,000 metric tons. This year, industry worked with NOAA to reduce it to about half that, to 55,000 tons, to try to preserve more fish in the sea for next year's quota, which is going to be down to around 15,000 tons.
And it's not just the quota that has them worried. Regulators have also approved a 12-mile buffer zone for mid-water trawlers. That means no fishing for herring close to shore from Maine to New York.
Vessels that operate midwater trawlers are going to lose about 75% of their historic fishing grounds because of a new buffer that we feel has no scientific basis or justification.
Raber says he and other bait fishermen will likely challenge the buffer regulation in court, but they aren't the only ones who are figuring out their next steps.
I predict that we will see acute bait shortages, likely have days where lobstermen aren't able to fish because they won't have bait. And when we do have bait, I anticipate that we will be on some sort of rations to get through.
Patrice McCarron is the executive director of the Maine Lobstermen's Association, who says the lobster industry did support some cuts to the quota because of the poor stock assessment of herring and fewer baby fish. But despite the low biomass, scientists can't point to overfishing as the cause. And McCarron says that makes removal of 77 million pounds of fish from the bait supply all that more difficult to swallow.
We literally have already had our herring landings cut in half since 2013, but now we are going to take an additional 70% reduction in 1 year. That is a tremendous ask for any fishery.
Environmental groups say they didn't get what they wanted either. Among other things, they'd been pushing for a 50-mile buffer. But Peter Baker of the Pew Charitable Trust says the action taken by fishing regulators is a great step toward protecting the marine ecosystem and the coastal businesses that depend on it. He's pleased, for example, that the council has said that 20% of the herring stock has to be kept in the water as forage for other species. He says that will protect animals, along with inshore fishermen, who depend on striped bass, cod, and tuna.
We've seen big conflicts between these ships and the traditional fleet because the ships tow up their gear. They take so much herring out of the water at one time that there's not enough herring left to feed the birds, to feed the whales, to feed the cod and the striped bass and the tuna.
A pair of trawlers, Baker says, can tow one net 6 stories tall and as long as a football field between them, scooping up everything that gets in their way. But Susanna Raber of the New England Fish Company points out that she and her brother and the other midwater trawler operators have the same catch limits as small boats, and she's concerned for all of their livelihoods.
I was trying to keep a positive outlook, even though we saw this coming down the pipeline. I immediately thought of my children. I'm a single mom, so they depend on me, and I am worried. It's fishing. We've had rough years. We're gonna weather it, but I'm really worried about other people that work in the fishing industry that are gonna lose their jobs. It's devastating.
The rules adopted by the New England Fishery Management Council must now be approved by the National Marine Fisheries Service. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
Some good economic news for the state as a whole today as revenues are coming in above estimates and wage growth is leading New England. Mal Leary has more.
State revenues for the first 2 months of the budget year are over 9% above the same period last year. That's $50 million more. Revenues are also some $33 million above projections for the first 2 months, and State Finance Commissioner Alec Porteous says sales and income taxes are strong. And a federal report concludes that Mainers are experiencing the best personal income growth in New England for the second quarter of the year. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
Finally, today, some Maine school districts have yet to receive funding to help support homeless students due to what the Department of Education says is, quote, a scoring issue. The issue has delayed the application process for schools to receive thousands of dollars in federal grant funds. Robbie Feinberg has more.
Last year, more than 2,500 homeless children were enrolled in Maine public schools, a noticeable increase over just a few years earlier. Meg Dumais, the academic liaison for the Lewiston School District's Door Next Door project to assist homeless students, told Maine Public last year that those children need significant support from their school and community.
You know, our kids cannot do the math homework. They are limited in getting on the internet. I mean, the smallest things are huge barriers for a lot of the kids we work with.
The Maine Department of Education provides some help for these students through federal grants that it disperses from the McKinney-Vento Homeless Assistance Act. For roughly a decade, Lewiston has used that money to fund a position at the city's high school. But Superintendent Bill Webster says the district received a letter from the department earlier this month with a surprising message.
So it came as a complete shock when our grant application was rejected.
The letter said that the department was only offering a conditional award this year to just one school district, not Lewiston. About 2 weeks later, the department pulled back that grant award, saying in another letter that it had decided, quote, not to negotiate and would instead reopen applications for the grants later. In an email, department spokesperson Rachel Paling says that due to a, quote, scoring issue, the original applications for funds didn't comply with state requirements. That led the state procurement office to reject this year's applications. Paling says the department is now working to issue a new request for proposals. In the meantime, some districts are proceeding carefully. Bangor Superintendent Betsy Webb says last year, a McKinney-Vento grant enabled her district to add a social worker to specifically work with families in need and connect them with community resources. Webb says she hopes the district will still receive grant money when the DOE reopens applications. If it doesn't,
we would have to reallocate local funds. And when you do that, something else is going.
On Monday, the Lewiston School Board agreed to add extra local money to the budget to make up for the lost McKinney-Vento funds. Superintendent Bill Webster says that while he's thankful for the funding,
this is not a long-term solution, I believe, for a very serious problem, and one that Lewiston's at the forefront in the state in attempting to meet the needs of these students.
Maine's Department of Education says it expects to issue a new request for proposals for the funds over the next few weeks. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Wednesday, September 26, 2018. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.